Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West.
West.
Captain Marvel MCU movie review. Woo! I am one of your hosts, Nat, and with me, as always, is
Pat.
And we have a guest reviewer today. Would you like to say hello, Alex?
Hi, guys.
Hi, Alex.
Hi. So Alex is here. She works with me at Griffin Games and Comics, and we wanted to make sure we had a female voice present in Captain Marvel movie review, because that would just seemed really weird to have two male voices being like, yeah, Captain Marvel, she's cool.
Don't say it like that. That's just creepy.
Well, exactly. That's right. We're trying to tone down the creepiness. All right.
Well, let's get to it, I guess. Yeah. My first impression is
Pat, what do you think?
I liked it. I thought it was a fun superhero romp. We haven't had this, like, classic superhero-y of a story yet, I guess, like, and for a while in the Marvel Universe. And so it's kind of nice to see them falling back on, I don't know, I hate to say tried and true formulaic superhero stuff, but yeah, let's say that.
So I guess I went into it not really expecting a whole lot. You know, I should have given Marvel the benefit of the doubt because they've done really good in the past, like amazing. But I thought because we were moving into phase 4 of the Marvel, or phase 3, phase 4.
Phase 3 will end with Endgame, and then we'll move to phase 4.
Yeah, phase 4 of Marvel. So I thought that was going to just completely change the dynamic. But it was a lot better than I was expecting it to be. Mm. I still have, like, critiques about it, but I loved it.
Yeah, for me, it's, this is going to be such a weird thing to say. It sits around number 10 of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. for 21 films, it's right there in the middle of the upper, you know, like, it's a weird movie. I liked the movie a lot. I shouldn't say I loved the movie, but I loved elements of the movie. I liked the framework of the movie, especially as we are filling in the gaps in her past as she is, and I like that sort of everything is muddy for everyone, so it's all unfolding. We're unfolding with the characters, and that's a really, like, it's a nice storytelling device. I do like the fact that it had been a while since we had, like, an origin story movie. And it was nice to see that again, so.
That was actually one of my few critiques of the movie, is that we didn't get those muddy, a lot of those clues, mm-hmm. like, previously, because something like the name tag,
right.
where he picked it up and said Vers.
Yeah.
Or Vers.
Vers.
However you want to pronounce it. Because it's kind of obvious to most of the people that know comic books that's why her name is Vers, is because
right.
it's probably her dog tag that broke in half, and I kind of wish that she maybe, like, had that with her, like, from the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that. It's just a small...
Well, she had some hint as to why her new name was, like, Vers.
Yeah, like, she just had this thing and was, like, kept looking at it every now and then.
I'm going to push back on that one. That's more of a critique from the perspective of being a comic book fan, but I think that for the general audience, that probably played just fine.
I actually hadn't read the comic before I saw the movie.
So did that bother you, like, the name? Or was it, like, kind of a, oh, moment when you saw the dog tag?
It was an O moment.
I think that's... When I saw the pop figure was what ruined that for me, because the pop figure says Vers on it, and I was like, Vers? That's not Carol's name. And I'm like, oh, Danvers. I get it.
I don't pay that close attention to things. I think that's just you,
Matt. hyper analytical when it comes to that kind of stuff. I wanted to talk about the 90s action movie feel of the movie. Because there's some criticisms to Brie Larson's acting that she was very stoic through a lot of the film, and she doesn't really have a character arc. And that's a criticism I don't agree with, but I do agree that there's a level of the 90s action star, like late 80s, early 90s action star, that she starts the movie as a badass and ends the movie as more of a badass, and then it's so much like the 90s movie characters. That's what they were, the action star. He's like, introduce disgruntled hero. who's the hero of the movie, and at the end of the movie was the hero. You know, like that's the trope. That was like that was a conscious decision.
The minute you said that, I instantly jumped to Die Hard, and her. I imagine when she like takes the thing off of her neck, that's Bruce Willis like taking the gun off of his.
Yeah, exactly. It is totally. I got a feel of like Predator. You know, it was like let's introduce the badass character who has this other badass group, but then gets separated from the group and still ends up being the badass of the group.
He's so badass that even the badass thing that killed all of his badass buddies, he's still like able to kill because he's such a badass.
Exactly. And that was, I mean, that was Carol Danvers' character. We got more information about her backstory, but there was an ultimate like the ultimate thematic choice is that your past is only pieces of the puzzle, but it doesn't define you and it doesn't force you to be anything. And so there was character development. I also think that like her acting criticisms that people are saying is absolutely bullshit, because I think she was one of the funniest parts of the movie. So Alex, you have a different perspective on that one.
So I mean, that's kind of like all of the critique I have is that the movie was like typical Marvel recipe, mm-hmm. is kind of what it felt like. And it did have like new aspects or like unique aspects, but it was still the recipe.
Yeah.
And Brie Larson has exactly one facial expression that she can make, and the facial expression is unamused. That's it. That's like.
Or in Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, she has also very unamused.
Yes.
She's amazing in that movie. I thought that she did a great job, especially like her scenes with Fury. Especially, I go to the scene where he does the crazy like 90s. I'm gonna get the thumbprint from the piece of tape and bring it up to the wall. He's like, you made me do all of that. He's like, mine wants to your moment. Like her line delivery and her smirks during that like whole sequence are like, oh, you're so cute doing all these things. I'm gonna let it pass. I'm gonna let it happen. But I think she also has a very like emotional performance that's led by Lashana Lynch, Maria Rambeau, when they first have their like sit down discussion about what happened with the accident. I think you see the shades of Brie Larson from Room, you know, where she's a very deep actress and can do a lot with her eyes. She's near tears in that performance, but she never breaks down into them. But I think that the highlight of that sequence for me, though, is Lashana Lynch. I think that she, as Maria Rambeau, elevated the performances around her for being as small in the amount of time that she was in the movie. I think she was incredible.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned that she's too stoic, because, I mean, going along with the Marvel Cinematic Universe thing of being, you know, lighthearted and family fun, mm-hmm. and all that good stuff, I thought, like, for Captain Marvel, she was too silly. Like, I imagine the character, like, in the comic books being a little bit more, not, like, way more, but definitely a little bit more stoic than that, almost. Huh. So, I guess I have a differing opinion than the critics.
I thought she should have been more jackassy. But I don't know if you introduce a character like we're used to that sort of jackass stereotype. We have Tony Stark and Doctor Strange, so
she was a bit like when she first encounters anybody on Earth, she's a little like, I know it all and you don't.
Yeah, that's true. That she yeah. does have that element, which was really funny to framed as a kid of the 90s, like being around for all of that stuff. So you know, seeing like the Bush posters on the wall and Smashing Pumpkins, and you know, Street Fighter 2 having a cameo. In the movie, yeah, there's like there's some really fun. The way that she plays being an elevated race was really like interesting in those moments, despaired with like the 90s subculture.
So. Yeah, and it kind of felt like a 90s like I mean, you mentioned 90s action movie, but it also is like a like you know, alien come to Earth and having to learn, like, all humanity. I mean, there was so many movies like that in the 90s. I mean, you know, cavemen being unfrozen and all this kind of fish out of water and our society stories.
I like the fact that it didn't dwell on that, too. Like, it wasn't so much, like, Thor is very much a fish out of water story. This was more like, I don't really care about being here, so I'm just going to do the job that I feel like I am set out to do. What did you guys think about the fact that her motivation wasn't really to figure out her past? It was really just to figure out why the Skrulls were there. Like, that was really it. That was her motivating goal.
I thought the Skrulls were going to be more of a... Like, I thought they were going to become, like, a part of the MCU. Like, it was going to be the new storyline.
Oh, I don't think you can discount that. That is definitely... There's at least two Skrulls, I believe, that are unaccounted for from that group that landed there.
I kind of thought they were going to be a bigger thing, too. Like, kind of... Because, you know, they have Thanos' army or whatever, the big, bad sort of thing that can just run at the Avengers as they mow them down.
And right.
I was expecting the Skrulls to be the new, like, just, you know, big army of people that Captain America can just throw his shield at, like, 100 of them at a time.
I think they've set themselves up to be in a position where they can introduce different Skrull factions, and we'll finally have, like, a multifaceted race that is both bad and good, like, I don't know, humanity?
Yeah.
It's like, we don't have an entire race of beings that is literally all the same agenda. It's like, well, wouldn't that be nice for everybody to be on the same page? But that doesn't seem like that's how life works.
Yes. So that's one of my big critiques of sci-fi movies, is every time they try to do, like a city on a planet or whatever, they're like, you know, Xandador on planet Clock 9.
Right.
But then they do the Earth, and it's like, New York, United States, Earth.
Yeah.
And it's like, why don't other planets have, like, at least regions?
Right.
Like, territories. Like, maybe they have a world government, but they would still be, like, from the state of...
Right. That's, like, the Star Wars criticism. It's like, Hoth is the ice planet, but it's like, well, does it have another side? Like, is there, like, a side where it's, like, forest the whole time, you know? Like,
what? The pole, or the equator?
Yeah, like, it's like, is it warmer in, like, South Hoth? You know, like, I don't really, like...
Yeah, so, or is it like, you know, like Europa, that's a moon and it's all ice, but it also has an ocean underneath it.
Yeah.
Like, there's multiple geographies.
And that stuff, like, I think this was one step towards exploring that idea that there was this multifaceted versions of the other species. And since we're on the subject, Talos, played by Ben Mendelsohn, was incredible. He comes off as a violent leader, somebody that, you know, he's going to run an army or this group of people, but then you get him in these one-on-one situations, he's like, whoa, there's a lot of tension in here, let's diffuse the situation. Drinking a milkshake out of
him
the...
Him with the cat, Goose?
Oh, it's not a cat, it's a flicking.
Yeah. He was the lead Skrull.
He was the lead Skrull.
Yeah. That's...
And also the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. That was him in his action. Like, that's what the actor actually looks like.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, that's what he played.
Oh, huh. Yeah. That's interesting. I actually didn't know that. So when he takes the head of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s form, that's it, like a...
Yeah, he's playing himself.
Oh. Yeah. That's funny.
That's funny.
Actually, I totally didn't get that.
I was happy that he wasn't a, like, straight-up villain, because we've seen him as a villain in Rogue One. We've seen him as a villain in Ready Player One. Weird nomenclatures there. R ones. But it was nice that it flipped and that he ended up being sort of more of an altruistic character. So.
Yeah. And I always love those kinds of stories where it's like, who's actually the villain? I have a running joke with one of my friends, like, every time we're in a movie and she's like, is that the bad guy? Is anyone truly evil?
From a certain point of view.
Yeah. I mean, sure, they're evil from your point of view, but... so that's why I loved this, too, because, like, especially a lot of Marvel movies just lean into the bad guy is the bad guy, and he's just bad because of badness. And for this, they, like... the bad guys are being brainwashed by, you know, culture and society, mm-hmm. and who you think are the bad guys initially are just propagandized against until they become the bad guys, essentially, like, scapegoating them. And so I kind of like that, like, moral, like, ambiguity. And so in even Ronan, who we have, who's, like, objectively a villain and, like, at least one Marvel movie.
He's just an extremist. You know?
Like, you kind of... Yeah, exactly. You see how he got to that point, how he was brainwashed by society.
A little bit underused in this movie, which is one of my biggest criticisms, is that a lot of characters were underused. But I agree with your point there. That, like, they showed that... So that was where they broke from the Marvel formula, was they did something different with the villain story. It wasn't like the villain of the movie was... the opposite version of Captain Marvel, because that is always the villain in the Marvel origin movies. So
that's true.
Even Levram. Captain Levram.
Captain Levram.
That's usually how they do it.
How did the revelations hit for you guys? Like, Alex, what did you think of the reveal that I get his name wrong, Yon-Rogg? Was actually a bad guy that Jude Rog.
I'm an anthropology student, so most of my answers to any questions are going to be yes, but no. So it was good because I didn't see it coming. So, like, at the same time, I thought it was going to be like neither site is right. Which is always what it is in war, because, you know, each side thinks that they're right in an argument that led to a war.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I thought that that's kind of what it was going to be, that she just ends up being, like, the middleman that's like, well, technically you're both wrong.
Right.
And they it worked, because then they did the whole, you know, you thought the Skrull was the villain, and... Mm-hmm. They turned out not to be. I feel like it would have been better if they had done, well, neither side was right, and so she's the new, like, advocate for ending this war.
Yeah, and I think that's, there was hints of that idea that the Kree, I guess the Kree really satisfies that idea of there are different viewpoints in the entire civilization. And it was also a multicultural race, which I thought was really interesting, is that mm-hmm. there were some Caucasians as well as the blue-skinned versions of Kree. So there was, like, starting to track, like, the genealogy through mm-hmm. the storytelling. Like, what were you telling us by what certain characters look like? Oh, it's like, okay, there's intermingling of different species together in the Kree society. Mm-hmm. And I kind of got that from there, that the sects of Kree were the problem. It was like, Ronan is the super extreme. And then Yon-Rogg was part of not an extremist cell, but, like, a very, like, narcissistic, we are the high race. And I feel like the supreme intelligence was also part of that. But I'm wondering if the general populace was just more dealt with the propaganda of the Skrulls and assumed they were bad, you know, like.
I'm getting, like, Ronan's the guy. He's like, blue power. Blue power. And Jude Law's character is more like, well, maybe not, but, you know, they say human lives matter, but all alien lives matter.
God.
Kind of different things.
All Kree lives matter.
All Kree lives matter. Yeah. Not just human lives.
Right. Not just blue Kree, but all Kree.
Yeah. Blue power. Oh, God.
Yeah.
I think I want to just touch on this, because obviously you have to, I feel like you have to bring in the conversation of feminism into the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just like to say, I love how they didn't really touch on that. I think that you have a differing opinion.
I do. I think it was, well, no, continue.
I was going to say, I came out of it, I was like, wow, it's awesome to, this is kind of what I've been wanting from, like, a quote-unquote minority lead in a film, is to not be the, quote, minority lead, is to just be the lead. And I thought that that was cool, as she was just, they weren't like, you're the best lady superhero we've seen, you know, like, they're just like, cool, kick some butt and let's fly some planes.
And I would argue that that point is the overt feminism in the movie, which I love. I love the fact that it was overtly feminist, is the fact that it was showing that the most powerful character is the woman, and it never dwelled on that fact. It was just that that naturally was the case. There was also a nice comment in the movie about people discounting Brie Larson, just like, why doesn't she smile? She's not smiling in the promotional materials. And that's a fucking joke in the film. So I thought that that was
super political.
Well, and that was the thing. There was a lot of that in the movie, as well as they did a point to make all of the characters that were telling her what to do male, and they were very, like, sleazy in that sense. It's like, to tell you, you know, why they call it a cockpit, you know, like, there's a lot of stuff in the flashbacks, and I mean, I think it worked. I absolutely loved the fact that the story was that way.
You know what, now that you're mentioning it, the scene where she's, like, not smiling, and the guy's like, come on, give me a smile.
Yeah, that's directly...
That actually, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is funny, because that was probably filmed long before any of the trailers or, like, the criticisms happened, where people were like, oh, she doesn't smile. And all the directors and everybody behind the scenes are like, hey, we have something for this already, you know? And, you know, preparing themselves in advance for that. But I think the movie, I felt, did you feel like it was feminist? Like, did you pick up on those tones?
Yeah, it felt a little bit. So, like, I liked the aspects. It felt like a little bit that they were throwing it in your face. So, to me, I just because there's so many, like, references that just make it super out there. Like, the scene where, you know, she starts out as a little girl, it reminds me of all those commercials that they have where it's like, throw like a girl, and then they do that, yeah. You know. And that's kind of how it felt. They just, like, show her growing up as a little girl. And the same thing, like, at the end when Ronan's like, well, come back for it, and... His co-pilot's like, for the weapon? He's like, no, for the woman.
Yeah.
And that just felt a little like, that was directly like a woman empowerment, you know, line. Yeah. That's, and I mean, it was cool because, you know, you kind of need that minority in there, but it felt like that was being like directly addressed. Just like super like, this is gonna be number one thing that we're addressing here. And I mean, that was, I guess that was kind of the same thing with Black Panther. But
yeah.
I guess watching Black Panther, I didn't notice it because I'm not a part of that minority, so I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't pick up on that.
This is really, this is why we have these discussions. Like,
that's so interesting because I thought Black Panther was one of the most overtly racially films. Not just superhero movie, but movie in general, I think. Even comparing it to the unfortunate winner of this year's Oscars, that I will not mention its name, it was an even more profound statement on race.
Yeah.
And I thought that it should have definitely beaten out that pile of garbage that attempted to do what it did. Anyway, sorry, moving on from that. But
yeah, though, see, I knew that was going to be an interesting topic to hit because of the different perspectives on how we all view things. And I think it worked. I think it definitely, for me, I loved the character. I think we can move into final thoughts here. I wanted to make a statement that I cried during the film in the most weird of places. This movie hit me during its final action sequence with Carol going Super Saiyan. Going binary, I guess, would have been, like, the true term. But I like that they really referenced, once again, 90s DBZ here. And was flying through space and shooting beams of photon energy out of her fists. I started crying. And it was, a moment of... I didn't realize I was crying. Like, tears just started coming down my face. And it was being a comic fan for such a long time and being moved that we're finally seeing this, like we're seeing it on screen, that it looks real. It looks like somebody's shooting energy from their hands and flying through space. And I didn't realize it was going to move me that way. I was really excited about seeing that. And it really, I felt moved. I'm weird. That's cool. Alex, final thoughts?
Yeah, so, I mean, on top of, like, all the, like, obvious subjects they were hitting, they had some, like, subtle subjects that they touched on that was, like, I liked that it was subtle, but they still, like, had it in there. Like, the scene where, you know, the Skrull tells his wife to cover his daughter's eyes so she doesn't see him, you know, murder people, and she sees it anyways.
Yeah.
And that was, like, an important topic, but they didn't, like, just throw it out there. It was more, like, an under... Neith.
Yeah, something natural as part of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, there's definitely, like, an interesting, let's say, class sort of undertone, like, not just feminist, but I guess classist as well, and also you could definitely look at this from an immigration point of view as well, so I think it was, I think people are definitely missing a lot of the other things to talk about of this movie, because simply for the fact that there is a woman starring in the lead, and that's the only thing we can talk about, apparently, instead of, like, what does, like, this genocide of these people, because they're perceived as less than, you know, due to society and to the people that carry it out, and all these other things that we could be talking about instead of the fact that she doesn't smile enough. No, I thought, I guess we should, 90s references.
Oh my god. 90s
movies references.
I went home immediately and, downloaded Kiss Me Deadly to my playlist because of the karaoke scene that was, like, in the flashbacks. The music was awesome for me. I absolutely loved that. 90s movies references. God, there was the big one that everybody's pointing out is Pulp Fiction with the milkshake cup that Talos has.
Yeah, Men in Black, too, kind of with them in the car. And
The
Fury and Coulson together.
I didn't even pick up on that.
I
definitely got Independence Day when she was, like, when they're flying through the canyon.
They were definitely nodding. My initial reaction was Star Wars. Like, we were watching, like, a Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
When you say it that way, it's like, oh my god, that is totally the flight.
I would love to get this movie and just go through and, like, pause every scene and, like, try to. I'm sure there's so many.
One of my absolute favorite Easter eggs in the movie is when she lands in Blockbuster and is walking through. In the one shot, the sections that they show are family and drama. And so it says family drama, which is, like, the theme of the movie. It's, like, her different families she's got beef with, you know? Like, it's family drama.
And then I also saw that, too, like, if they were to categorize Captain Marvel in a Blockbuster, it would probably be in either one of those two.
Oh, gosh.
Sections as it is.
No, it'd totally just be an action.
Action. All that stuff. Did you get any 90s stuff?
A lot. So I feel like the 90s theme almost would have been too loud, but because they added, like, the intergalactic aspect, which was also, like, just as important, it kind of quieted it. So, like, the 90s theme was there and people could see it, but it wasn't like, oh, this is such a 90s movie, I'm just going to throw it at you.
The flannel.
Yeah.
You look like somebody's disaffected niece. Take the flannel off.
And that gets me to, like, so many. She looks like, God, like Wayne from Wayne's World. Mm-hmm. Bill and Ted. Like, so many, like, like 90s comedy stars when she's wearing that.
We missed out on talking about Sam Jackson, and I want to make sure that we hit the fact that, like, holy shit, where have we come with digital de-aging technology?
Oh, I know, right?
I was blown away by the fact that, like, I was blown away by the fact that I couldn't, like, I was staring for the seams and I couldn't find them. You know, like, that was the thing.
Mm-hmm. I know, right? You, like, expect, like, at one point to see, like, a wrinkle or something.
Yeah.
And also, Agent Coulson.
I didn't think Coulson worked as well.
Oh, he didn't? I thought he looked like a baby.
Clark Gregg. Oh my god.
Yeah.
I feel like in anything I've ever seen him in, he's always looked the same age. Like, he's
one of the, he's like Keanu Reeves and Nick Cage. They're like the vampires.
Yeah.
So,
that's
awesome. They have to play a good role and it gives them new energy or whatever. Rejuvenates them.
They never work with the same casting or crew because, you know, they suck the souls away from those, and then those people just fade into obscurity or something. Yeah,
that's why S.H.I.E.L.D. has to end soon. He's slowly killing off all the cast members.
That's terrible.
Oh, gosh. no, I guess so. Everybody liked it.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't wait to. I was discussing recently my top three Marvel characters, and I realized I just like the overpowered people because it was like Captain Marvel, Doctor Strange, and Thor.
No, I mean she's a great character. I love that sort of like punch first and don't even bother to ask questions later personality. Yeah.
I hope we get some interactions with Tony Stark where she just sort of puts him in his place.
Oh god, I would love that.
So
I want to see him like reach for something and her like
you just slap
his hand away or something.
I'd be like, why do people listen to you? It seems like you failed a lot. Like,
yeah, that would be great.
Like they're recounting the story of all the Avengers movies and she's like, yeah, this sounds like it was mostly Tony's fault.
Yeah. And then Scarlett Johansson will be there like, I tried to tell him.
Exactly. Oh, okay. Well, is that it then?
I guess.
Well, everybody go home and look up Flerkin. You want to make sure you do that because there's a lot of information there.
Yeah, not to get into too conspiracy theory territory with that.
Pocket dimensions.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
All right, everybody. So
well, with that, let's say bye then.
Bye.